Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Sally L. Cordy, and welcome to Public Advocate Radio. Today, my guest is going to be Roxy Lopez of thetruthdenied.com. You should check out her paper. Very good, very interesting, highly diverse. And Roxy Lopez will be our guest shortly. She and I were having a conversation, and she was saying something that is completely true, that Donald Trump's accomplishments are not known by the general public because the media has done such a splendid job of diverting your attention to everything but his accomplishments. And he has an amazing store of them in merely 4 years. So I said to her, why don't you come on and educate people about what it is he has accomplished? And she has agreed to do this. And the program is called What Has President Trump Accomplished? And she will be joining us shortly to inform you. So anyway, I had a show of a similar nature yesterday with my friend Joe Jones, who is a major Trump supporter and advocate, and he shared his not even scratching the surface, I have to tell you. He was on for an hour, and he just basically identified the things that really meant something to him. That was a very long list, and I'm assuming Roxy's will be different, but just as long. So I'm going to pick up Roxy Lopez forthwith. Hi, Roxy Lopez.
Hi,
of thetruthdenied.com. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Oh, you know, I've got a backache, but other than that, I'm spiffy. would you like to share what President Trump has accomplished since 2017?
Sure. You know, first of all, thanks for having me on the show. And again, anybody that, you know, wants to also check us out, we're also on Facebook. So you can find us on Facebook at The Truth Denied, or you can find it under Roxy Lopez. We do polls daily. We do a lot of fun things. As a matter of fact, especially for this show today, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, but I have a poll that I started about 50 minutes ago. And the question for the poll is, what do you like about President Trump? And so we've got quite a few comments on there, and we'll get to that as it rolls forward, that poll. But we do all kinds of fun things like that. So if you'd like, you know, you can join us on Facebook, like I said, under The Truth Denied, or our website, thetruthdenied.com. And we are on YouTube as well, The Truth Denied. Everything's called The Truth Denied. We're easy to find. So as far as this president goes, President Trump is that's who we're referring to. You know, he had a lot of opposition even when he was running for president. And I think just to remind people of that year prior to his presidency when he was running, the Democrats did not even think for one moment that he could win. He wasn't a politician. He wasn't, you know, ever looking to have a career in politics. And to run for the highest seat of the land and never be in politics is, you know, it's quite unusual, okay? And so they made a lot of fun of him and during the debates and things like that. And he seemed to gain popularity based on some of the things that he was talking about during that campaign, things that a lot of Americans didn't even know about, one of them being the TPP, which is the Trade Pacific Act, which was Trans-Pacific Partnership, I'm sorry, which was, you know, as he said, and he turns out to be right, was going to be the worst American trade deal that there ever was. And thank God we are not a part of that. We moved from that. Obama kind of left that hanging out at the end of his presidency. He was about to, you know, when if Hillary would have made it into the presidency, then she was going to secure that treaty with America. And so that never did happen. And that's a very big one. Trade is very important. It's very important to our economy. And most Americans don't really know that, and that's okay. A lot of us are not, you know, economic, you know, we didn't go to college and study economics for 4 years. So it's a very complex, economics is a very complex conversation. So we're not even going to go there. But first and foremost, you know, Trump came out with Make America Great Again. And really, what that means to me is he wanted to make America sovereign again. And that's a big word. Sovereignty of a country is a big word. And prior presidents had warned about a few different things when it came to our sovereignty of the American people. You know, and let's not forget, people, the American people, we are supposed to be the boss. By the people, for the people, of the people. We are supposed to be the boss. And we elect these individuals into offices such as governorship or senators or Congress or even in our local government. We elect them. And when we elect them and vote for them to be a part of the political system, which is, by the way, huge, our government is so big you can't even imagine the thousands and thousands and thousands of people that work in government. Our government is very big, but we vote them in. And when we vote them in, and I think sometimes Americans forget this, and even I need to be reminded about this on occasion. When we elect them and vote them in, we are handing over the power of we the people to that person. And that's sort of a fiduciary thing. Fiduciary meaning we entrust these representatives, if you will, to be the voice of us, be the voice of the people. So with that being said, Make America Great Again to me means make America sovereign again, because everything in his policies, Trump's policies, reflected in that element of a sovereign nation, such as, let's say, immigration. You know, that was, he ran on immigration. He attacked the faulty immigration laws, gave free health care to and paid subsidies to the illegals. And, you know, it's called illegal immigration for a reason, because it's illegal. So how did this happen in America? Why, by the time we hit 2017, why did we have over 20 million undocumented workers in America? What happened there? How did they get in? Where's the justice system? Where's the immigration system? Where's Homeland Security? Why? How did this happen, right? And it happened under, you know, other presidencies, under their watch, right? And, you know, as far as Americans go, you know, the misunderstandings of let's say, you know, Americans would say, like, well, you know, the reason why they're here is because they're taking the jobs that Americans won't do. False. That is a false premise. That is not true. And see, if we would have kept going, and if we do continue to go and eventually have 30, 40, 50 million workers that are working in this country, not paying into Social Security, not paying into taxes, these workers, by the way, they're being used as well. So they're coming from the South. They're coming from, you know, a lot of them are, and this is not a racist statement. I'm saying illegals that come over our borders, whether they be our northern borders or our southern borders, they come in. And they will not be able to collect Social Security. So when they get old and they served in our country or worked in our country for lesser pay, let's say, or in our fields, our crops, our farms, our, you know, they don't get high-paying jobs. They're not in high-paying positions. A lot of them. They're not going to be able to collect Social Security because they're not putting into Social Security because they're going under the radar with, you know, false, let's say, you know, Social Security numbers that are adopted and created by the corporations. So they're also being used. So please, when you think of this in immigration, do not have a heart, okay? Think of it in a more humanitarian way. But anyway, going back to Trump, he, you know, that's something he ran on, like I said. And then he came into office, you know, like a bat out of hell. He dispelled some rumors. He blew the doors off of the media by exposing them for the propaganda machine that they really are, as well exposed what he referred to as the swamp. You know, slowly started to expose different members of generals, let's say, like, for instance, Bolton, or other individuals within the quote unquote swamp, expose them for who they are and what they are doing, which is tyrannical against the American people. He is a threat to the establishment. So if you want to know why the conglomerate media, and I'll explain what that means in a moment, but the conglomerates, why they pooled together and propagandized against this president in every way, shape, and form, and we're including social media, you know, Twitter, Facebook. And this is now starting to erode, if you will. It's eroding the American people's education, let's say, in you know, who our candidates are and who's running and what they stand for, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's starting to erode the information stream to where most Americans, if you ask, and I have polled Americans several times, what they believe and what they don't believe. And it's interesting because a lot of them are saying right now they don't know what to believe anymore. And this isn't even about just about Trump. They just don't know what is real anymore. And this confusion, this chaos within the media is contrived, and it's also done very purposely. Because if you throw out a lot of information that even the networks are contrary to each other, okay? So even the networks can't get it straight at times. You know, they're against this, they're for this, the other network is against this, for this. But remember, they're a conglomerate. They're all one big media propaganda, like I say, machine. And remember that. It is a lean, clean machine. So Trump is a threat to the establishment that is beholden to the media. Why they pay so much money, dark money, into these networks, okay, and allow for this propaganda machine to spin and spin and spin and spin, and it actually has gotten so out of control that I don't think they can control it, meaning government. So Trump aims to protect what little democracy we have left in America. And that's why he's a very important 45. He's the 45th president of the United States. And he is one of the most important presidents in the history of America. He is trying to preserve what little democracy we have left in America, as well as protecting the rights of the American people via the constitutional rights. Okay, and that's become a very big red flag. Constitutional rights are being violated left and right. And Trump is trying, attempting, and making headway, by the way, to solve that issue, to solve the attack against the American people. And that's why you'll hear him say at times, and he said it in his early presidency, once the attacks really started coming down by media, I've never seen a president so attacked by media. It's like, do you ever wonder, do you ever think, oh, Trump did this for us, you know, whatever it is. It could be the tax reform. And then the media is coming out saying, you know, it doesn't help the American people. All it's doing is helping the billionaires and da-da-da-da-da. And do you ever think to yourself, God, can this president just get one day in the media where they like him? He's been nominated for four awards right now, Nobel Peace Prizes. And you're not hearing about it in the media. And if you do, it's kind of a joke. Like they kind of roll their eyes and go, yeah, he's nominated for another. In 1 week, he was nominated for three. And then last week, another one for his we won't get into this right now. We'll get into this on Saturday. But for his peace treaties in the Middle East. You know, so let's take a look. You won't hear anything about who endorsed Trump either. And I was actually surprised to see how many people, but we'll get into that in a minute. But what has he done? You know, since what are some of the Trump administration accomplishments? So you can follow along if you want. You go to whitehouse.gov and you can read this list for yourself. So I don't want to bore you with this list because it's quite long, but it will just remind you, oh, that's right, I remember that. Or, oh, that's right, I remember when that happened. And that's what I want to do. I kind of want to wake up some of your cellular network in your brain to recall, because so much has happened, don't you agree? In 4 years, so much has happened that we can't possibly, we're whiplashed. We can't possibly keep up. So almost 4 million jobs created since the election. More Americans are now employed than ever recorded in our history of America. We've created more than 400,000 manufacturing jobs since the election. Because one of the things that Trump ran on was he wanted to bring manufacturing jobs back home, get them out of China, bring them back home. See, when you are in debt in the trillions to another country, which we were when he came into office, we owed something a little under $3 trillion in deficit trade to China, which is why Trump wanted to negotiate and change the tariffs. You know, one of the big things he was saying, when we import from China, buy from China, why are we paying taxes? But we are not paying taxes on the export. They don't have to. In other words, they don't have to pay tariffs. So he wanted to even it all out. And he started with NAFTA, by the way, because it was last year that he was in negotiations mainly with China. But prior to that, he quashed NAFTA, which was the North American Free Trade Agreement. And he said, look, I'd rather go one-on-one with countries and make agreements and treaties with tariffs, which was suitable for that country and our country, instead of putting all these countries together in one bucket and we'll just make a deal. Let's make a deal. So he saw the results of NAFTA, the shady NAFTA. There was nothing free about it. Yet it was called the North American Free Trade Agreement. There was nothing free about it, and it was costing America billions in trade deficits. Back to China and our own manufacturing jobs, these 400,000 manufacturing jobs that were created since 2016, you know, that's a big one. When you are in debt to another country, you have to think of it this way. Just go one-on-one with me for a moment. Sally wants to borrow $100. I lend her $100. And then later she wants to borrow $1,000. I lend her $1,000. Then she wants to borrow $5,000. I lend her $5,000. And after a couple of years, I say, hey, you owe me X amount of money. And she says, I don't have it. Then I say, well, you know, Sally, then you got to do something here. Because you borrowed, you know, it's been 3 years and you borrowed over $12,000 from me, and I really need it. I need it for my radio shows and my media outlets. And she says, well, I don't have it. And so I say, well, you're making money off of this, this, and this, correct? So I need to start, you need to start giving me some of that money that you're making on your business. You need to start, you know, giving me some of that money. And then I'm going to charge you interest on that money too, Sally, because this is ridiculous. You were supposed to pay me back right away. By the way, people, that's just that's just an example. Sally doesn't owe me any money. Okay, it's just use for example. So at that point, that's what we did with China. We owed China a lot of money, and the deficit went up and up and up. You know, it went from billions, millions to billions to trillions. And when another country owes, when we, the American worker, owes that much money to another country, there's something that has to be offset. A lot of people don't know that Hillary Clinton made a deal with China. And we're not going to get too far deep into the weeds on this, but you can all look it up. She made a deal with China at some point because it was getting, China was coming to the table with America and saying, hey, your debt is getting really large. It's getting like almost like where you're not going to be able to pay it back. And so what she did is she said, well, if we default, okay, if we default on our payments, because we make payments to them every month, if we default on that, and I'm simplifying all this, then at that point, the exchange would be land in America. In other words, we would, if we default, then we have to give up something. kind of like the scenario that I just painted with Sally. You know, you're defaulted. You didn't pay me. You were going to pay me all this money back, Sally. So now I'm going to start charging you interest on the money you owe me, A. And B, I want some of the income off your radio shows and your websites or, you know, your business. Okay, see how this goes? So we were in that predicament, and a treaty was made by Hillary Clinton and China 6 years ago. And it's astounding. It really never made the headlines. It never got into the headlines whatsoever, to be honest, and made this deal that if we ever default on this, you know, getting into the trillions of dollars owed to China, that our compensation would be land, you know, America. Like, oh, here's, you know, here's California. You can have California now. You can't do that. You cannot negotiate on behalf of the American people like that and not let us know. We didn't ever tell her to do that either, by the way. So how does that get done? But let's go back to the manufacturing jobs that he created. So Trump is a businessman, right? He looks at all of this. He goes, oh, hell no. We've got to bring back business to America. We've got to set, you know, we've got to get rid of some of these tariffs. We've got to make this more reasonable. Da, 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 da. Don't forget, prior administrations had made all these rules. So he did that. He actually did create a little over 400,000 manufacturing jobs since. And manufacturing jobs are growing at the fastest rate in more than three decades. Oh, I wonder how that's happening. So, and then the economic growth last quarter hit 4.2%. And that's very interesting because if we didn't have COVID, okay, if we didn't have COVID, we estimated that this year, 2020, that economic growth rate and it anywhere from 5 to 6.1%. That's what it would have been. Our economic growth, it would have continued to grow because don't forget, prior to this event, this COVID-19 event, what was happening in November, December, and January. November, December of 2019 and January of 2020. What was happening? All right. They just got done with the Mueller investigation. And, oh, guess they can't arrest Trump. They couldn't find out. He wasn't guilty of what they accused him of, and they went right into impeachment. Let's impeach him over the Ukraine conversation that he had with a Ukraine diplomat, which was recorded, and over 22 people listened in on the call as well as it was happening. But we're going to impeach him over that. And then the impeachment didn't work. So that was what was going on November, December, and January. Let's not forget that. He wasn't impeached. He's still here, right? And so the economic growth, and then we got hit with COVID in January, okay, would have gone, they surmise, political analysts, anywhere between 5 and 6.1%. So we would have continued to gain on more jobs. We would have continued to gain on the economy. We would have continued to hit new records, et cetera. So the new unemployment claims recently, prior to COVID, hit a 49-year low. 49-year low. So how did it hit a 49-year low if jobs weren't created? The median household income hit its highest level ever recorded in 2019. African American unemployment recently achieved the lowest rate ever recorded as well. He is a proponent of that was another policy that he came into the office with. He wanted to help the American workers, and he saw that the African workers were not as employed. And so he actually helped the African-American unemployment to be achieved at the lowest rate ever recorded, along with the Hispanic American unemployment rate, lowest recorded, along with the Asian American unemployment rate, achieved the lowest rate recorded, along with the women's unemployment reached the lowest rate in 65 years, along with youth employment that recently hit its lowest rate in nearly half a century, 50 years. Lowest unemployment rate ever recorded for Americans without a high school diploma. Veterans unemployment reached its lowest rate in 20 years. 3.9 million Americans lifted off of food stamps since the election. 3.9 million Americans. So, and then the pledge to America's workers resulted in employers committing to train more than 4 million Americans. And the administration is also committed to vocational education. 95% of U.S. manufacturers were optimistic in polls about the future. 95% of U.S. manufacturers, which is the highest ever. Okay, retail sales surged 6% over the last year. And we are talking 2020, by the way, during a COVID lockdown. By the way, let me interject there. The propaganda media is spinning that, you know, we have 20, well, now it's down to 10 million people out of work. What do you think happens when you shut down a country? Why is that Trump's fault? Why is that President Trump's fault that, and it was 40.1 million, okay? And propaganda media quotes April was the lowest ever. What happened in April? We shut down the nation. We shut down the economy. Now, in front of the United States of America, in front of us in the Corona Task Force, Trump said day in and day out during those Corona Task Force, he did not want to shut down the country. He wanted to preserve life. We didn't know very much about this COVID-19. He was listening to Fauci and Dr. Birx, who were, by the way, telling us that we didn't need masks. Don't you remember? Didn't need masks. Oh, we don't need masks. Don't worry about masks. We don't need them. How do you go from we don't need masks, the American people, to mandating that if you don't wear a mask, you get fined? How do we get there? Because the highest rates of COVID were during the first quarter of the year and partial second quarter, while they're telling us that we don't need masks. So at the end of the day, the president did not want to shut down this country, number one. Number two, when he did have to shut down the country, he wanted it to be a two-week stint. He wanted the country reopened by Easter Sunday. Got to remember this. And I said, no, Mr. President, you can't do that. You can't do that. And so it went further than that. It locked down a little bit longer than that. Okay? And then the governors, do not be even persuaded by the propaganda news when it comes to the governors. The Democrats are pushing on this idea that Trump is a disaster for the COVID-19 relief, being in charge, if you will, certain rules and et cetera for this COVID-19. And in the Constitution, under the 10th Amendment, governors are the ones who are in charge of their own states when it comes to shutdowns, when it comes to PPE, you know, I'm talking specifically to COVID at the moment, when it comes to those local jurisdiction laws, governors. So even if the president turned around to governors and said, hey, you can't shut down your state, or you can't shut down your bars and restaurants, or you can't shut down your, you know, your gyms, they would have turned around and said, per the 10th Amendment, yeah, we can. That's our duty. So even if he wanted to, there was nothing he can do. The governor, and so instead of them, the propaganda news, instead of them telling the truth about that, they're saying that, you know, Trump failed, didn't want to do his job. So he just handed it all over to governors and told them, yeah, you guys need to figure it out. And that's not what happened. That's not what happened at all. So continuing with the what Trump administration has accomplished, He also signed the biggest package of tax cuts and reforms in the history of the U.S. And after the tax cuts, over $300 billion poured back into the U.S. in the first quarter alone. As a result of the tax bill, some small businesses would have had the lowest top marginal tax rate in more than 80 years. Now, let's not forget, you can't apply all of this right now in 2020 because we were shut down. This is what it was all up against COVID. Okay, this is what the statistics were. He also helped the U.S. bid for the 2028 Summer Olympics in Los Angeles. And as you well know, the Summer Olympics bring a lot of money to that state. That's a big win to have the Summer Olympics for on a number of levels. And so he helped to get that U.S. bid for the 2028 Summer Olympics, and hopefully we'll actually have them by then. He helped win the U.S., Mexico, Canada's United bid for the 2026 World Cup. He opened ANWR and approved Keystone XL and Dakota Access Pipelines. Now, that's a measure of some people are upset about that he opened the Keystone XL. And don't forget, Obama did as well, but then Obama kind of left it flat for the new president to decide for the XL pipeline and the Dakota Access Pipelines. So that's a big controversial thing. So, you know, for some people, that's not a big win. As far as something that President Trump did. But we move on. It record number of regulations eliminated. Now, with that, and I'm going to provide you these links tomorrow on Sally's show tomorrow. You need to read what it was because there's a propaganda spin on that as well, EPA regulations. I have the entire list of everything that was either regulated or deregulated. And when you take a look at it, you'll say, okay, it takes a little brain power. You got to read through it. But you'll say to yourself, okay, oh, I get it now. I get why he did that. It's not what you think. It's not like he said, kill the spotted owl. You know, California did that all by themselves because the spotted owl is known to live in the forest reserves of California. And due to some of the EPA requirements, and some of the environmental rules, they weren't cleaning their forests out or, you know, managing them, doing forest management, which is one of the big complaints. Don't forget, 3 years ago, California was on fire as well. And it's already been proven, but it was, you know, to save things like the spotted owl species. I love animals. Sometimes I might say I love animals more than I like people. Seriously, me. I don't want to endanger the spotted owl, unlike anybody else. But the forest burned down. So what happened to the spotted owls now? They don't even have a home now. And by the way, those regulations are very strict as far as what you do to maintain a forest. Even if there's a bald eagle nest and that tree is dying and that one needs to be eliminated, the ground is cleaned up as well, they can actually relocate the nest successfully to another tree that's, you know, that the bald eagle can be in, and it's not going to hurt anything. Okay, so their refusal to spend money, billions of dollars in the coffers, by the way, in California alone, that they weren't spending the money to deforestation management. What happened to that? They were doing either very little or none in some areas. And that is, If you're going to tout, if you're in California, no offense to Californians, but if you're in government in California and you're going to tout that we have climate change, don't just think that they're thinking like this. We have climate change. We're getting droughts. We're getting electrical fires. We're getting, you know, fires caused by, you know, a number of different sources, natural sources, you know. Electricity in the air, bolts of lightning, okay? If you're so, in the last decade, so all about this climate change, and you've been seeing it coming for 20 years, wouldn't you think you clean the forests in prevention? So you can't have your cake and eat it too here. You know, wouldn't you want to clean and manage those forests due to continued drought, due to higher temperatures, due to a number of reasons. Don't you want to keep those forests kind of cleaned up? So if you do get a lightning strike, it minimizes the effects instead of burning down 5 million acres in one season. Makes no sense. Because you didn't want to use the billions of dollars in the coffers, maybe? Or because maybe the money's not there anymore because somebody took it? So it's something to think about. It's something to think about. Now, another really big one that Trump did was, and he promised, you know, he was going to overturn Obamacare and have a better plan. And what happened was for years before he got into office, 8 years before he got into office, you know, the Republicans were, you know, touting that, you know, Obamacare was terrible, and it was 2,200 pages that Pelosi threw it, you know, in Congress and said, sign it. We all remember that. Put it into law now, read it later. Remember that? And, you know, when Trump started looking into it, he was like, oh, wow, this is like a train wreck about, you know, coming. This is a train wreck, a financial train wreck is going to happen here. So he turned to the Republicans and he said, well, you know, you had 8 years to work on the new health care, you know, to replace Obamacare, you know, repeal and replace. So what you got? And they had nothing. So what's that all about? What's that all about? Why is that Trump's fault? And that's the thing I keep asking myself. Why was that Trump's fault? It's not like he was in office or in Congress or a senator prior to all of this. So he said, get to work. Get to work on a new health care. Meanwhile, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take away the individual mandates. The mandates that said, unconstitutionally, by the way, that every American had to buy Obamacare health care. And every American, if they didn't purchase health care, they were going to get penalized. And how are they going to pay? Well, the IRS couldn't collect the money. But if you're a worker, and let's say you were getting $300 back this year when you're filing your taxes, we'll just take the $300. We just won't give it to you. We'll just keep it, the IRS. So they seized on the American public's weakness of the American people who could not afford, you know, family of four couldn't afford $12,000, $13,000 a year in health care. So they opted for the penalty. So they said, you know, well, you know, they had an escalation written into the law into Obamacare. How wonderful is that? Meaning, oh, the first year will be $300 a person. Second year will be $1,000. Third year will be $3,000 a person. It'll just escalate to where at some point, which I call strong arming, this is the government strong arming the American people, where that we're a family of four now looks at it and says, look, we can pay $18,000 in penalties, or we can pay $15,000 for the bogus health care. Well, at least we'll get something out of it. Let's buy the health care. So you're strong arming the public. So he took away that mandate. And that mandate, and think about this in the bigger picture. Once you don't have a penalty, and once it is no longer mandatory by law to get that health care, Obamacare, what happens? Is Obamacare still a law? Well, it is, but a lot of these people aren't using Obamacare. I think it's 30 million Americans. So at that point, you sort of take all the wind out of Obamacare, don't you, when you take away the mandate. So at least he got that done. And he says now that they have what they want to do, and he hasn't expanded on this for us. So Americans want to hear more about this. So if you have an opportunity to do a survey with Trump, ask him to expand on what the new health care is that he's wanting to put through. We need to know details about that, because he did say it will be lower cost, and more care. So let's see. Well, you know, in all fairness, Obama said, you know, you'll keep your doctor, you'll keep your this, you'll keep your that. Well, that never happened. So we've got to be careful, keep an eye on that health care. Health care is a very big issue. So he did toss out the individual mandate penalty, gone. Americans are forgetting all about that. So the administration is also providing more affordable health care options for Americans through association health plans and short-term duration plans. But we want to hear more on that. So apparently, the FDA approved more affordable generic drugs than ever before in the history of the U.S. And they say right here on the website, again, if you want to follow along at whitehouse.gov, Trump administration accomplishments, the generic drugs, and they did, you know, slash prices, got it, that generic drugs so that they're lower price. And thanks to the efforts, many drug companies are freezing or reversing planned price increases. He wanted to go after that for years, and he has been, trying to make deals with these big pharma. So anyway, reformed the Medicare program to stop hospitals from overcharging low-income seniors on their drugs and saving seniors hundreds of millions of dollars in 1 year, 1 year alone. He signed the Right to Try legislation, very important legislation, by the way. The Right to Try is all about somebody's terminal, they have cancer, they have whatever, and there's drugs out there, but they haven't yet been approved by the FDA. And by the way, you're going to see a lot more about the FDA and the scrutinizing of the FDA. That's coming in the next couple of weeks. But the Right to Try legislation said, if that person wants to try a drug that worked, like, you know, in trials, let's say, it worked for 40% of the people, I'd rather try it than die. So I'd like to try it. The other one was the Compassionate Act. And by the way, the Compassionate Act is this. Trump, remember when he went to Walter Reed Hospital, you know, tested positive for COVID, had symptoms, et cetera, and they wanted to use Regeneron and a couple of other drugs, which they did use, that are not FDA approved yet. They're still in trials. The Compassionate Act and the, you know, allows you to choose a drug that hasn't been approved by the FDA yet. And our own president, I mean, he walks like he talks, people. This is why he made these laws. Walks like he talks. He said, I'll give it a try. You know, of course, he sat around with a bunch of, you know, big wig Walter Reed, the best in the country doctors, who suggested Remdesivir and Regeneron. So, you know, he said, let's do it. And a steroid to de-inflame and a couple of other things. And it seemed to work. And, of course, now he's back out there on the campaign trail because he is negative. He had to test negative at least twice, and he doesn't have the virus in his body at all anymore. So he walks like he talks. He isn't just saying to Americans, okay, you know, if you're at the end of your life or you've got an issue and you want to take any drug you want, go ahead, you know, and then behind the scenes saying, not me, man, I'd never do that. He actually did it. When he passes a law, he's inclusive. He is part of the American people. He says that a lot. And he also says to the American people, the reason why they're going after me, the reason why they're hitting me up so hard is because they're trying to get to you. I'm between them and you. I believe it. He secured $6 billion in new funding to fight the opioid epidemic, and we did have an opioid epidemic. You don't hear too much about that right now. I don't know if we still have it. I can't say. I'll have to look into it. He's reduced the high-dose opioid prescriptions by 16% during his first year in office. He signed the VA Choice Act and the VA Accountability Act, which expanded VA telehealth services, walk-in clinics, and same-day urgent primary and mental health care. Good deal. Increased coal exports by 60%. U.S. oil coal production recently reached an all-time high. Obama wanted to put an end to coal, as does the new Green Act, put an end to coal, to put an end to natural gas, to put an end to oil as well. But increased the export 60%. United States is a net neutral gas exporter for the first time since 1957. So we were at one time a net natural gas exporter. And so first time since 1957, withdrew the United States from the Paris Climate Accord. You all remember the Paris Climate Accord. We can get into that another time. Canceled the illegal anti-coal so-called clean power plan. You got to look into that clean power plan and see what that's really about. It's about money. So he canceled the illegal anti-coal so-called clean power plan. Secured record $700 billion in military funding, $716 billion next year. NATO allies are spending $69 billion more on defense since 2016. Why? He looked at all the NATO countries and he said, wait a minute, why is America paying the boatload and the bulk of all these other countries? Why are we picking up the expense? Hold on. I'm sorry. You other NATO countries, you need to pay your share. So thus far, they are paying $69 billion more, NATO allies, countries, than they were before he got in, so since 2016. Process has begun to make the Space Force the sixth branch of the armed forces, and we just did. So Space Force is now the sixth branch of the armed forces. Confirmed more circuit court judges than any other new administration because 1,500 of them were lefty when Obama left. So he filled the circuit courts with judges. Confirmed Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch and nominated Judge Brett Kavanaugh as well. And, of course, Brett is in the Supreme Court. Withdrew from the Iran deal. Remember that Obama gave Iran $100 billion in cash, and the deal was a $400 billion to get them started with their nuclear program. He quashed that. Moved the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. There's a funny story that goes with that, and I'll tell you another time, but maybe Sally will remind you that there's a very funny story that goes on with that U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem. Protecting Americans from terrorists with the travel ban upheld by the Supreme Court. So, issued executive order to keep open Guantanamo Bay. There's a funny story that goes with that as well. Obama was supposed to shut down Guantanamo Bay. I've lost track of who's in Guantanamo Bay, but maybe he wants to keep it open because maybe there's going to be some people that he needs to put in there. I don't know. That's a joke. But he did issue an executive order to keep it open. Concluded a historic U.S.-Mexico trade deal to replace NAFTA and negotiation with Canada as well, which was completed. Reached a breakthrough agreement with the EU to increase U.S. exports. Imposed tariffs on foreign steel and aluminum to protect our national security. Imposed tariffs on China in response to China's forced technology transfer, intellectual property theft, and their chronically abusive trade practices. That's a very big one. I think you heard of Huawei. We shut down relations and opened up little bits and pieces of Huawei. But that intellectual property theft has become a very, very big problem. And apparently that's been going on for years with China, because don't forget, though, like, for instance, they manufacture iPhones, right? And then take the technology, steal, I should say, and then make something that's not called an iPhone, called something else. And you can't do that. It's like writing a song and having a copyright on it. If somebody else uses the song in a movie or whatever, they have to pay royalties on that song. I wrote the song. I copywrote the song. I get royalties for that. Same thing for intellectual property. If you design something like a particular iPhone or the iOS, you know, the operating system of that iPhone, and somebody else wants to use it, manufacture it in another country, that's fine. They don't want to buy it from Apple, let's say. They can make their own. They just have to pay royalties to Apple. Well, they just stole them. They just took them. And they've done it in quite a few things, in mostly technology, which is kind of scary when you think about it. Net exports are on track to increase by $59 billion. And improved vetting and screening for refugees and switch focus to overseas resettlement. That's a long story, so I won't get into it. And, of course, they started building the wall. Is still continuing to be built at this moment. And that is the list. And there is more to that list. This is just a list that's on the White House. Somebody needs to update the list. But that is the list. You know, recently he cut funding to the WHO, the World Health Organization. We were giving them a little under $600 billion a year. And he said, was it million? I'm sorry, that could be million. I'll have to check on that. To zero. When he found that the WHO, the World Health Organization, was colluding with China on the COVID-19. virus. So said, yeah, we're not going to play. By the way, I don't know if anybody knows that we've gotten out of quite a few global organizations, the United States. And we can talk about that another time as well. Very, very interesting. I just want to mention what happened on NBC with Savannah Guthrie, who was the moderator of the town hall last night. And I want to tell you why she was under pressure to try to make the president look like a buffoon, which he didn't. She was under pressure to make Trump look as bad as possible and incredulous. So by NBC. Now, this is interesting. NBC, in an article yesterday, called Trump a failed businessman. NBC. Now, why is that important? Because Trump's show, The Apprentice and The Celebrity Apprentice, ran for 15 seasons on NBC. Would you call that a failed businessman? Isn't that interesting? They didn't say the part about The Apprentice. They just said he's a failed businessman. And NBC, okay, basically The Apprentice, because Trump got into politics, ran for president, he couldn't continue, you know, being "you're fired" that guy on the show. And so he got Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it just tanked. When Arnold did the show, it was a failure, and it tanked. But that's 15 years in the running on NBC. If I were NBC, I would have to say that was pretty successful. And NBC made millions and millions of dollars off of that show in advertising. But, you know, they notate him as a failed businessman. But they're also on the other side of this. So the other side of, meaning Trump, they are pro-establishment. So they are against Trump, who is threatening the establishment. And so they hit up Savannah Guthrie and said, "You need to make a fool out of him," which Trump knew was coming anyway. At the end of the day, he did a pretty good job of keeping his composure. And, of course, one of the questions of the night was just off the hook. She kept calling Trump a liar because she'd asked Trump, you know, about QAnon, you know, Q, and the conspiracy group. And he said, "Well, all I really know is they're against pedophilia, and I just don't know a lot about them. I really don't." And she said, "You're a liar." Imagine, they treat the president like he's some guy on a street corner selling pot. And speaking of pot, by the way, that's another one that I didn't mention, that he also got hemp taken off of the federal government list of, you know, I can't think of the word right now, I'm sorry, but off of the list of you can be arrested for growing hemp. That's been
illegal substances. Illegal substances,
well, illegal
maybe.
Substance, but there's another word for it, and I'm trying to think of it. It's illegal substance, but there's another word, and I can't think of it right now. Sorry about that. But everyone catches my drift, I'm sure. So that was another one. So there's actually a list that's longer than the list that's actually on the government's website, which I think is interesting. A lot of little things that happened along the way. Okay. So it is 5 minutes before the end of the show. Sally, is there anything else that you'd like me to talk about?
Well, he has the thing that I respect him most for is going after the child traffickers.
Yes. Oh,
I can't say that.
No, I'm sorry. I forgot. I did save that 5 minutes. So the poll I did on Facebook. So why don't we all just kind of jump into that and take a look at it, okay? So the question is, what do you like about President Trump? That's all it says. Patty Harder says, "Biggest thing I like about President Trump is he has no fear. He don't take exploitive from no one, and he tells it like it is. If they get butt hurt over it, tough." And then Zena says, "They throw all kinds of exploitive at him, and he throws it right back at them. Yesterday's town hall was a farce." La Johnson says, "He made a big, bold promise, and he's keeping every one of them. He is making America great again." Jim Kerr says, "The fact that he's not a politician or a Washington, D.C. swamp rat, he's a regular, all-American guy who loves our country." Lori says, "That's very true." Jim says, not a politician, what we need in these times. And Laura says, Doug Moen says, America first. And Lori Cleveland says, yes, most definitely. And Butch says, he's America first attitude. Patty again says, I love his confidence. Darren says, working for us, not special interests. Kelly Osborne says he's not a politician. Rajiv said he loves everything about the president. Go, Rajiv. Joe said that he's not a Democrat. Kenny Kent said he's blunt. I don't have to guess what he's thinking. He says what he feels. No games. Jack says guts. Eric Camacho said that he's not really connected to one party as the other. Now, we kind of forgot about that, didn't we? He's not really connected to one party or another. He doesn't fit into their political agendas. He's not part of the political master plan, but more of a wrench in the political machine. He's a tool. So that's just some of them. We opened it up to all Democrats, all independents, and all Republicans. So far we're just reading right down the line of what these people say. Charles said, I have to think about that one. Nikki said, he doesn't like Nazis. Kathleen Williams said, the wall, attractive, clean family, likable. Marcy said, everything. Paul Fitch said, ending child trafficking. There you have it. That's your answer, Sally. So Paul Fitch said, ending child trafficking.
I'll have to befriend him.
Yes, Paul Fitch is his name. Corey Pearl said he gets exploitive. Corey Pearl said he gets exploitive done. Let's see. His never-ending energy and the way he fights for America, said Robert. David Sarita said he doesn't take the media crap. He's the boss. Laura Fister said he's actually kind of funny. Graham said, I'm in the UK, but I think he's done well. So, and it goes on and on. But that was only done about an hour ago. That's when I posted it. But that's what what people said. I didn't go through it and take out comments that weren't for him. That's what they said. So at this point, our poll is 100% pro-Trump. And they said what some of the things that they liked. And I think that's a good way to wrap up this segment of Sally's show. And thank you, Sally, for having me on.
Well, thank you, Roxy Lopez of thetruthdenied.com. Everybody check out that website. That will take you directly to her Facebook, her Twitter, and other outlets that she has created. So, and also, does it take you to your video channel on YouTube?
Yes, YouTube. Yes, YouTube. And we've been in business for 14 years, and we are a self-funded organization. We take nothing from the public.
Thank you very much, Roxy Lopez. That was extremely enlightening. I think that Trump would be thrilled to hear you speak on his behalf as you have right now, truly. And all the comments that just came in, those were so diverse and supportive. So, and there's more. I can think of more just off the top of my head, and which lets you know how busy this man has been, and he's been working on behalf of us. So I will be voting for Donald Trump. I'm a Democrat, and I will be voting for Donald Trump.
Oh, yay. That's awesome. And I must say, past tense, I voted for Donald Trump.
Yay! Well, it's important that we all get out to the polls. Do not mail in your ballot.
Go to
the polls, and you know nothing is safe. You know there are machines that have shown up with votes already in them, always for the Democrats. There are people who are dead who are voting. How does that happen? You know, so there are all kinds of things that are a myth with voting, but your best shot at getting your vote counted is at the polls. Would you like to take
Absolutely.
A caller? You have a caller, Roxy.
Sure.
Would you like to say? Okay. Pressing down. I'll try again. Hello, caller.
Hey, guys,
you're
how
on
you
with
doing?
Roxy Lopez. Very well.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Tom.
Hi there.
Okay. What would you like to say?
Who's calling?
No, it sounds like you guys are talking about the election, I suppose. I'm just tuning in, but I would love to chime in. So.
We just spent an hour talking about Trump's administration's accomplishments and down the list and all of the supporters, et cetera. So that's where we're at. What did you want to ask? We were just ending the show, but you're welcome to say something.
Yeah, no, I can definitely jump in on that. I think I voted for Trump in 2016, and I'm not a Democrat. I guess I'm just kind of torn now because I'm looking back, and I think I'm never really a Republican nor a Democrat. I vote with the policies I think are the best. But I think frustrated me a little bit were the massive tax cuts. I think the trickle-down economic theory in America started by Reagan, pushed through by it didn't work, right? Like it failed like considerably, and I'm definitely someone who, when something doesn't work, I want to see something else put into place. So I think kind of what we saw happen with the massive tax cuts is that there ended up being pretty minimal tax cuts. Yes, there were cuts, but pretty minimal tax cuts for kind of like everyday people and massive tax cuts for like large corps. And I think what we saw was those large corporations generally did not use that to create more jobs. Those large corporations generally didn't do that to pay people more. They used that to buy back their own stock to the point that when the pandemic hit, a lot of these corporations barely even had a month of cash on hand to pay their employees and had to get bailed out by the actual government, right? The government had to bail out a lot of companies to save them, and a lot of those companies had used the money they'd received from the tax cuts to buy back their own stock. And that's not really the fault of the companies. The government should have known that's what was going to happen, right? And I think when I look at a lot of the kind of the so-called draining of the swamp, it's kind of gone the opposite to me, right? I think this has been a presidency that's largely been about propping up corporations while telling people that they're actually being helped. But if you look at what's actually occurring, I don't really see the help that has come to the everyday people, right? Like, I think the whole stuff about masks, the whole stuff about everything has really ended up hurting us. Like, our economic recovery outside of the stock market, which I think if you take a look, I have a lot of money in the stock market. I like that the stock market's gone up under Trump, but there's an aura of unsustainability about it that I don't like. And I think that's why I don't think I'm going to vote Trump in this upcoming election, because I don't think any of his policies have actually been sustainable. And honestly, I think the party around him has been, I'm going to use a strong word, I think borderline disgusting. I think like the fact that there is a Supreme Court justice who's going to get pushed through within a week when you have starving families out there who are really legit. I mean, there's basically a million people that apply for unemployment every week. And our government's not really doing anything. Then, meanwhile, they can come together to push through a Supreme Court justice. So, I just think
hold on a second.
Hold
on a second, because you're saying a mouthful, and that's what I straightened out the last hour. So, no, that's fine. No. I love it. That's why I did the hour that I just did, to clear up what is propaganda, what is real, what has really been done, and statistic-wise, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that in order for you to comment, if you would have listened to the show, the last hour, I think that you would have been enlightened by it. I do, because if you are. And by the way, you sound very intelligent. I'm not super. You're not just touting out. You're touting out what the American people want to know, which is what I did. That's what I did. I aligned some very important facts that I think would benefit you. I think it would benefit you and all the sources for it. And I think it would very much so benefit you. I think I'm not trying to persuade you one way or the other. I would never do that. We're supposed to be a free country.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I do understand your concerns, and I do understand your view of those concerns. And I'm not going to ask you where you get the information from. That's okay. That's up to you. But I will say, if you do listen to the last hour, I think that you will get. I think that it will be enlightening for you. I really do.
Yeah, I think what I attempt to do when I get information, right, is I think as a human race, somehow we've kind of lost the ability to be given a set of facts and then make a decision off it, right? So does CNN always report accurately? No. Does Fox News always report accurately? No. Does CNBC always report accurately? No. Does Bloomberg always report accurately? No. Do all the newspapers always report? But I think what you can see is you can see consistency across the board, and you can tie who is delivering this news to me. Is there a person who writes an article that I respect immensely who is always generally at good like sources and taking a look at that? And I think just with the reason I'm a little turned off to Trump right now, and I think a good number of people who did support him are, is that what I don't love about it is that I am a person who does not like the pomp and circumstance of politics, right? Like I am very much someone who is just like, you know, I don't care who gets married to each other. I want, you know, I want control over my own body. I hope a woman has control over their body and has a safe way to make the decisions that they can, right? And I'm so sick and tired. And immigration, right? Some of the biggest and best companies in the world in this country are started by immigrants. We are dealing with a world power, China, who is wildly oppressive. We should be inviting every smart person in that country to move to our country to start companies, to give us information on China, to do everything that they can. I'm just a person who looks at the facts, right? And so I think what kills me about politics right now is we spend all this time talking about nothing. When is the last time I heard a debate between...
And everything you just brought up, again, I covered it.
For sure,
to straighten out the line of demarcation, because there's a lot of propaganda, as you well know. And I look at news today as a movie. It's all a movie. It's all scripted. All these people are scripted. They're all talking about the same thing. It's nonsense. It's back and forth arguing, really quick sound clips. And, you know, they have somebody on for, you know, 15 seconds to go, talk about a topic that takes 2 hours to talk about, but sum it up in 15 seconds. And what it does is it slowly, and it has. I mean, we have screwed this country, you know, politics, if you will, sideways to Sunday for 40 years. It's going to take a little while to clean it up, and it's baby steps. And so I think sometimes the American people, if they're even aware of the baby steps that are happening, and, you know, that is a fact. It's baby steps. There's a lot of a mess to clean up. And when you want to talk about news, it is not news. A lot of these people should have their credentials ripped out from under them, because they're not news. They're commentators. They're opinionators. And it's very one-sided, as you well know. It's super, super one-sided.
Right?
You know what
like
I mean?
And
so the influence becomes a subliminal influence. It becomes a taunting daily for the American people, I would say, that have any interest in who they want to vote for. It becomes very it's subliminal. It hits you on a subliminal level. And before you know it, you're recycling. And I'm not talking to you specifically. We start to recycle that news out loud. And it's not news.
No, for sure.
That's the problem.
For sure.
It's
and I think,
news.
Like, what you see is, like, so I'm 35 years old. So I'm in an interesting age group where I remember the tail end of, like, you know, the news being on 30 minutes at night, and I'm fully immersed in the 24-hour a day, everything that occurs now, right? And so, but the reality is this. The news was not meant to be told 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You have to tell on 12 different stations, right? Like, of course it's not news anymore. It's entertainment program. It just becomes a nightly sitcom, right? Because there isn't enough news in the world
if
to fill 24 hours a day,
yeah.
7 days a week. Right. So, like,
It's very Saturday Night Live. There's a lot about it that's absolutely laughable. So, but at the other end of the spectrum, that's how propaganda works. You know, it's palatable. Why are the American people tuned in 24/7 during a shutdown to news? You know, why were they tuned into that? That was what was reported, by the way, from the media outlets, that most people tuned into, instead of watching movies, they did download Netflix and things like that, but they watched an incredible amount of this so-called news, the movie, okay? And that's all it is. It's a movie, it's scripted, and when you see it that way, it becomes fascinating because you can predict it.
Right.
It's so predictable. And once it's predictable, for instance, you know, you brought up somebody that you like, a news reporter. You know, look, C-SPAN, okay? The political chief editor, Steve Scully. I liked Steve Scully. I liked the guy, okay? He was going to be the moderator on this last debate, you know, yesterday that was supposed to happen that didn't happen. He was going to be the moderator. I was very confident that he would do a good town hall moderation between Biden and Trump. I thought we'd get a lot of information out of that. The guy goes and ruins his career by tweeting, how do I handle this guy Trump to Scaramucci? And then he said he never said that. He never tweeted that. He was hacked. Come to find out today, you know, early this morning, that he admitted he did tweet that. He's been suspended now. Ruined his career over what? Over what?
To play the game, right? And then think about it. Even deeper.
Who's revered?
Yeah.
If somebody like him who's revered pulls a stunt like that, my God, people who are way lower on the rung, what are they up to? Just like this town hall with Trump last night, you know. It's just Savannah Guthrie from NBC. I covered this an hour ago. Why did NBC want to go after Savannah Guthrie? Why did Savannah Guthrie from NBC want to? She was under pressure from NBC, under pressure to make him look like a buffoon. And NBC, the prior day, had put out an article calling Trump a failed businessman. Okay? All right? What did he do, Trump, with NBC? 15 seasons of The Apprentice made them a boatload of money. And they're turning around calling him a failed businessman when he at 15 seasons. That's nothing to laugh about. How many seasons never make it past the first one? So there's an agenda here. And that's why you have to watch the movie. You know what I mean? This is a movie. There's an agenda. And once you see it as a movie, you will start to see more and more this agenda. And it's conspiratorial, of course, but conspiracy has turned into fact. I think I would say this though.
I think where unintentionally
Trump is against the establishment. The establishment is freaking out. He's not an establishment guy and he's not a politician. What does that mean? What this guy has uncovered, okay, prior, he was gonna run for president 4 years before he actually did run. He did some homework, started talking to a bunch of people. Then he ran for president, and he came in like a bat out of hell, right? And so he's exposing the establishment for what they are, and part of the establishment is media, including social media. I mean, right now, Facebook and Twitter have indictments. Okay? Indictments.
The reason I voted for Trump 4 years ago was that I thought he was against the establishment. Unfortunately, what I've seen in the last four years is that everything he does is for corporations, right? And so he's actually more establishment than – I mean, he's just openly establishment. I guess that's the best way to put it. He's not sweeping it under the rug. He's cutting taxes for corporations. A lot of what the Senate is passing is based off corporations. They're trying to shove a lot of things through, which I don't love. I'm not – once again, I'm a lawyer, I have money in the stock market, there are certain things I like about it. What I don't love, and where I think he actually has made an error, this is where I think is going to be his biggest error, the same thing that got him elected, which is kind of attacking the news media and stuff like that, he's actually numbed people to the point that all of his tactics of, like, you know, like the stuff, Biden's son, Russia, I literally don't care. He could tell me Biden murdered 40 people on the street, and I'd be like, whatever, I'm sick of the news. He's numbed me to all stories. I do not care about any story at all that comes out, which was his goal but I think it will actually backfire in a way because nobody cares about any of this stuff anymore. I didn't watch the town hall because I don't care, because I knew it was going to play out like that. I knew it. It didn't matter to me. Of course it played out like that. I knew they were going to wake up the next day and say some moderator did stuff.
Understood. Understood. But you're blaming Trump for the media.
I think there's media on both sides.
Yeah, you are. You're saying he has none. You're saying he has numbed the American people. It's not him. It's back to this push, this giant conglomerate banking on, you know, government and you know, joining together. I mean, it's really much more simplified. I mean, I can appreciate your outlook on it. I do. I appreciate it. I actually prefer speaking with people like you because you actually have a feel. Yeah, absolutely. You have a feel for what's happening, and I can dig it. I have said it many times. I'm a reporter. I've said it many times. I feel like I took a dumb pill. You know what I mean? I just want it to all stop. You know, stop the riots, stop COVID, everything. This is all absolutely ridiculous, like the whole idea. At the same time, it's like there's something inside of me, and I think it's inside of you as well. I do, because you wouldn't even be calling into the show. The something inside of me is saying that there's a danger here. Our democracy is I do believe that our democracy is at threat, and I don't think that it's just under Trump's watch. I think it's happened for, I would say, 20, 30 years, maybe longer. Our democracy is in a very interesting place. You know, I used to even
because we've essentially let Congress become a business.
The American people tend to vote for the lesser of evils.
To me, it's not necessarily that government is too big. It's just the way it's set up, right? Like, the way that the government works right now is I could, let's say that I run a glasses corporation whatever. I could make a super PAC, and I could donate to a senator $10 million, right? I could donate to that senator $10 million to help them get elected. And they could use $1 million of that to put right into their pocket, right? That senator can then go to the floor of the Senate and introduce a bill that says, we're going to reduce taxes on glasses, or we're going to do X to glasses, right, that helps me. They don't need to reveal that I gave them $10 million, right? And then anyone that votes for it, and then I could give $1,000 to 50 other senators, and they don't need to reveal that to me, there's actually a relatively easy fix. Every single time someone votes for something, I want to know how much money they've been given by a corporation.
Exactly. What you're describing is legal bribery, otherwise known as lobbying.
Right.
That's what you're describing.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right?
The end of the day, and you're a lawyer, so you know what I'm talking about. It's legal bribery. And lobbying, it's not a good idea, lobbying. And this whole thing, and I like what you're saying. I like what you're saying when they can just donate $10 million and then, okay, we'll lower the price, you know, to use your example of the, you know, glasses from, you know, $50 to $49. I mean, that's basically what you're saying. And, you know, so how much did, you know, the customer really get a break on? You know, So you're talking about legal bribery, and that shouldn't be.
Right.
That's another part of this whole thing. It's a good old boys network, you know, women involved as well, but it's a good old boys network, and it has gone, it has run amok. A lot of people actually think that this is possibly, and you might even have the same feelings about this. We could be on the same page about this, that the government, the functionality of it is lost. How it functions is for the good old voice networks. It doesn't function for we the people. It doesn't use the voice of the people, right? And so in that regard, you know, I've been known and quoted as saying about 15 years ago that I stopped voting simply because I thought that was a better way to go, because I didn't want to vote for the lesser of two evils simply because politicians make me want to throw up. Okay.
Yeah.
They're all actors. And you know, at one point I even had a push, if all Americans didn't vote, they couldn't get in, you know, like there's gotta be a way We can't vote him out. We can't get term limits. It's amok. It's run amok. So I can agree with a lot of the things that you're – yeah, of course. And at this point, you know, at this point, honestly, it's like then it becomes a preference. And I did talk about it on the show, and you might want to listen to it because I think there's going to be some points where you're going to say, now that you and I have had a conversation – and you kind of know where I'm coming from a little bit, and I know where you're coming from a little bit. You know what I mean? There's a little bit of respect here. You know what I mean? I'm not just some crazy, you know, crazy person going off on.
No, I think it's really it's nice to be able to have a conversation because I think what we've also lost is like both sides paint each other. It's actually nice for me to be someone who kind of just sits in the middle and votes for who they like because I look at both sides and it's like both sides are like. Democrats are like, the Republicans are trying to kill everyone, and the Republicans are like, the Democrats are trying to kill us. And it's like, no, that's like not, I mean, it's like, most of us are normal people. I think it's just like, back to what you said, I don't consider myself a stupid person, and all these Proposition Blank commercials are legitimately confusing. Like, they're so confusing.
Yeah.
They should be allowed to run television commercials where, like, I need to, like, then go do, like, a 65-minute deep dive to be like, wait, so, like, they're lying, and this was paid for by this person, and what is that? Like, those, and no, and 98% of people are not going to follow up. They're just going to vote what the commercials say, and, like, it's crazy that those are allowed to be run. Like, I said, I don't think either of us are in any way, shape, or form stupid people, and I bet we're both pretty effing confused by these prop commercials because it's just nuts. They run this
and you know what
like
else?
Dialysis
what it is.
Patients and like don't give patients dialysis and then this other commercial and like I'm looking at these things like man like am I killing a bunch of people by voting no on
have
this?
You, have you noticed? Have you
people?
Noticed?
Like, what am I doing?
Have you noticed? There's no even when you do a search on Google, there's no clear answer. There's no yes or no. It's become extremely complicated. But part of that, and that's why I call it all a movie. It's scripted as they go. It's all scripted as they go. And I get it. It's polarized. It's completely polarized. We have a situation in our country where there's a love-hate going on. You either love or you hate. I mean, that's what they want us to think. You know, we either love or we hate. We're either pro or we're against. You know, and that's propaganda. And we're trained monkeys, the Americans, right now. There's no independent, free-thinking people. I shouldn't say there's none. There's a lot of independent, free-thinking people. But for the most part, who has time? Like you said earlier in the conversation, you like to look up things. You know, you like to kind of backtrack on it and kind of see, like, where this came from, how it came out, you know, da-da-da-da-da, how did this happen, you know, whatever it is. And it's so convoluted is what it is. And how can anybody – it'd be like going into an insane asylum to see, you know, God bless her, your grandma who has Alzheimer's, and she's saying some weird stuff to you, and you're trying to make sense of it. You can't. That you understand? And that's how simplified I make these things, because that's what it is. It's all just scripted crap. And what is real? Where is the reality zone in all of it? Where is the reality zone? And how could we possibly know when there is so much behind the curtains that we don't even know? And higher-ups or cabal or other countries that influence and blah, 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 blah in the global network of things, you know, and where internet is being gauged now, you know, and search engines are being tampered with, and social media is being tampered with, and, you know, you want to talk about free speech, where the hell did it go?
Hi there. I don't know if the gentleman is still on. No, he's not on anymore. Well,
oh, he got
good for you. That was a great discourse. Wonderful. Thank you very much for taking that call and for interacting with someone who had probably 100 bullet points himself of things he wanted to get out. And your response
made a lot of good
so
points.
Sane.
You know, I can't deny it. He made a lot of good points. And I think at the end of the day, like I said, I enjoyed talking to him, and I really do if he's still listening, because we didn't ever accuse each other of anything. We allowed each other to say our piece, and when we found places where we agreed with each other, and that's what we need to be doing as Americans. We forget what you don't agree on and this and that and blah, blah, blah. Acknowledge that another person has intelligence as well. Acknowledge what they're saying and how they're feeling and how, you know, he had some very good points. absolutely good points. And at the end of the day, you know, I think we both did, and that's what I like to see. I enjoyed the caller immensely. I'm glad he called in. Thank you, caller, for calling in, if you're still listening.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you, Roxy Lopez, for a very, very interesting, and you hit so many important points, and yet we are still scratching the surface of his accomplishments. So I look forward to Saturday evening. Everybody, please tune in to Vaccine Free America on Republic Broadcasting Network at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Mountain, and 4 p.m. Pacific, republicbroadcasting.org. You are listening to Public Advocate Radio, and Roxy Lopez has been my honored guest today. Thank you ever so much, Roxy.
Thank you, Sally.
Okay, cheerio. TheTruthDenied.com.